May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I am son of Yisrael Abel, Benaiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It is now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Schlabel, Adiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Schlabel now entering the sanctuary. I now have a privilege and honor to present to you one of the sons of Yisrael Abel, Yedidiah Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is Love Your Neighbor as Yourself. And that is Positive Law Number 206. But before we can keep this law, we must first learn what love is and who our neighbors are. Yahweh shows us in the Holy Scriptures what love is. If you can turn over to 1 Yochanan 5:3, and that's on page 966. 1 Yochanan 5:3, and that's on page 966. It says, "This is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his laws. So we show love to others by keeping Yahweh's laws." The next question, who is your neighbor? Who is our neighbors? Our neighbors are everyone who we come in contact with. Look around you. Your neighbors is everyone who you come in contact with. Your neighbor is next to you. That's your neighbor. That's your neighbor. Everyone that you come in contact with. You might think that your neighbor is someone who lives next to you. You're right. But that is not your only neighbor. A neighbor is any human being like yourself, a fellow man, therefore anyone you meet is your neighbor. So this law is telling us that everyone that we come in contact with is our neighbor, and we should treat them according to the law. Even those who are not in the house of Yahweh, those are all our neighbors. Okay, how do we keep this law? We do this by keeping the laws of Yahweh ourselves. That's how we show love to our neighbors. If you can turn over to Leviticus 19:18, and that's on page 98. Leviticus 19:18, that's on page 98. And it reads, 19:18, do not seek revenge nor bear a grudge against one of your own people. Do not seek revenge nor bear a grudge against anybody. Okay? Do not seek revenge nor bear a grudge against one of your own people. But you shall love your neighbor. You shall love your neighbor, whether a brother or any enemy, as yourself. I am Yahweh. So Yahweh commands us to love our neighbor, whether a brother, an enemy, someone that we don't like. We should treat everyone with love, okay? Now I have two things here I want to ask you. Whether you want to treat people with respect and others treat you with respect, or if you want to treat others with disrespect and others treat you with disrespect. So would you rather treat others with disrespect and others treat you with disrespect? Or would you rather treat others with respect and others treat you with respect? I would rather treat others with respect than others treat me with respect. But what if you treat others with respect and others treat you with disrespect? Should you treat them back with disrespect? The answer is no, okay? So, no, we should not treat them back with disrespect. Yahweh commands us to treat others with respect no matter how they treat us. This is basic teaching from the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. In the respect unit, Chapter 5, Responding to Disrespect. You can go look for yourself. It's in the respect unit, Chapter 5, Responding to Disrespect. And it shows you how to respond to disrespect. In fact, it teaches us that responding to disrespect with more disrespect only adds fuel to the fire. So two wrongs do not make a right. We should treat others with respect, even if they treat us with disrespect. And always remember to love your neighbor as yourself. So if you go to the store and steal, if you go to the store and do not steal, you're showing love for the owner of that store and the people who buy from that store by not stealing. Okay? If you don't want anyone stealing from you, don't steal from anyone else, and you will be showing love to your neighbor. Okay, when you show love for others by keeping Yahweh's laws, then you show love for Yahweh as well. And everyone wants to show love to Yahweh, right? Okay, the only way to a peaceful, joyful, everlasting life. Is Yahweh's way. Not God's way, Yahweh's way, okay? There is no other way. With that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
It's a privilege and honor to present to you Son of Yisrael Abel, Deacon Yisrael David.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Today I'd like to talk about how we can feed and build the character of Yahweh within ourselves. Because, it's really, really, really important that as we're getting closer and closer to the end, that we have Yahweh's character in us and Yahweh can trust us to do the jobs that He has assigned for us. I don't know how many of you have heard the sermon entitled Food of the Holy Spirit. It's dated 12/21/1996. And Pastor goes into great detail on how Yahweh's Spirit is built, Spirit Holy, how it's built, and nurtured inside of us through Yahweh's laws, through the keeping of Yahweh's laws and the loving of Yahweh's laws. And he goes into detail on what the Spirit is, which of course we know is the character of Yahweh and the laws of Yahweh, Yochanan 6:63. But he explained that we can feed it and we can nurture it and it can grow inside of us, but we can also grieve it and kill it. And that's something that we don't want to do. So when Yahweh called us to His house, you know, He started teaching us His laws. He started feeding His laws to us, feeding that Spirit, developing a certain character in us. His character, the character of Yahweh. Now, He tells us to read, study, and meditate on His laws, and that's how we can keep that Spirit growing in us. Keep it strong, keep it healthy. That's positive law number 10 and 11. Read, study, and meditate on the book of the law. And then teach the book of the law to your children. That way they have that character built in them from day one, growing up with it. It also says, you know, when you walk on the road, when you sit in the house, when you lie down, when you rise up, do it diligently. You know, that leaves no time out. So that's how important Yahweh's laws are, building Yahweh's character is. But So we feed the Spirit of Yahweh through study, through the laws of Yahweh, which sustain life. In Yochanan 6, verse 63, Yahshua tells us that the Spirit gives life. Our fleshly bodies are useless without the laws of Yahweh. You know, Yahweh created the human body to live forever. But because of sin, you know, we have death all around us, and people are dying left and right. But that's not what the human body was meant to do. It was meant to live forever through the laws of Yahweh that are practiced in it. So our bodies are useless without Yahweh's laws. But what occurred? If you remember when the Catholic Church infiltrated the temple, what was one of the first things that they did? They removed the daily reading of Yahweh's laws from the people. So what did that do? We learn through repetition, right? Every day when we have the laws of Yahweh put into our minds, the character of Yahweh being built in our minds, we learn and it gets stronger and stronger. But when that's cut off, then we don't have that repetition. We're not learning anymore. So Satan is allowed to creep in. And Satan will sure creep in when she can. But how do we counteract this? We have to study. Study every single day. So, of course, everybody knows this scripture, but 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, on page 938, tells us to study to show yourself approved to Yahweh. A workman. A workman. What is a workman? That means you have to work, right? You have to do Yahweh's work. Who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, the laws, and the prophets. Notice verse 16. But shun profane, vain babblings. Profane, vain babblings are teachings that have nothing, that, you know, oppose Yahweh's laws, that oppose the truth. Vain babblings, for this will only grow into more unholiness, and it will spread like gangrene. You know, when Satan can creep in and spread her so-called desirable way to others, it will spread. So we need to avoid these things, shun them. So we can't allow Satan to creep in. But if you rise early and pray and study, then you'll realize that your day will go a lot smoother because you'll be starting it out in the right direction, starting it out with Yahweh's laws in your mind, Yahweh's word. And we have so many things to study. You know, we have the books of Israel, we have the newsletters, prophetic words, and those will strengthen our mind and get our day started in the right direction. Now, this is a plant or a baby or a pet or whatever you want to liken it to. You have to nurture it, you have to feed it, and it'll grow and get stronger and stronger. The Spirit of Yahweh, or the character of Yahweh, is the same way. And it takes over your life. When it gets strong, it takes over your entire life, and you find joy in the Spirit of Yahweh that's in you, or in the laws of Yahweh, practicing the laws of Yahweh. And you remember Pastor said we have to get to the point to where we can rejoice in everything that we go through? Well, you know, it's not going to be that way if you're focused on Satan's way, because he's going to put all kind of things in your mind to stress you out. But if you have Yahweh firmly on your mind, you'll know that, well, this thing that I'm going through here, it's a test. Yahweh's trying to prove and see if I'm going to pass it or get upset and fail it. So you'll be able to have joy in it, knowing that you're doing your best to pass that test and you're pleasing Yahweh and not stressing out about what Satan's putting in your mind. So that's how we learn to rejoice, because the laws of Yahweh take over your life and you find joy in practicing them because you see the benefit that it brings to your life. You see how it's helping you and those around you. So just as this plant or a pet or a young child, as we said earlier, grows and it needs the right environment to survive, so does the character of Yahweh in you. It needs the right environment as well. You know, you can't surround yourself with negative influences, as we've learned from the Peaceful Solution, or worldly associates, or people with worldly influences. You know, we have cell phones, we have computers, we have anything that we can allow Satan right into our homes with. We can't allow those to surround ourselves, because those will grieve the Spirit of Yahweh, the character of Yahweh. We can't expect ourselves to build positive character, which is what the Peaceful Solution teaches, or the character of Yahweh, the Spirit of Yahweh. Those are all synonymous. We can't allow ourselves to, or we can't expect ourselves to build these things in ourselves without having Yahweh's influences, positive influences always around us. We can't allow negative influences into our lives. It grieves Spirit holy. So to further strengthen this point, if you'll turn over to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 25, It says, we're talking about do not grieve the Holy Spirit. It says, therefore, putting away lying, each one speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, but do not sin. Now, the Peaceful Solution talks about that too. It says, you know, being angry is a thing that occurs. You know, you simply don't agree with something that's taking place. But if you allow it to be uncontrolled and you sin, as the scriptures is telling us, or as the Peaceful Solution tells us, you let it turn to rage, then, you know, you're actually grieving Yahweh's Holy Spirit. So you can't sin, or you're not supposed to allow yourself to sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. For this gives place to the devil. Give her no room for opportunity, no room nor opportunity. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands at something proper, that he may have something to give to him who has need. So, you know, it says work, you know, get an honest living. Or in the house of Yahweh, you know, do Yahweh's work. Yahweh has assigned many jobs to us that we should be doing. Let no corrupt communication, foul language, evil word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is righteous for the necessary upbuilding of the house of Yahweh, that it may minister blessings to the hearers. Now notice verse 30 really, really closely. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, in Yahshua's memorial of 2010, Pastor told us that the Holy Spirit is the character of Yahweh that we're supposed to be building in ourselves. So do not grieve the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now notice that it's necessary to have Yahweh's Spirit in ourselves for the day of redemption. Because remember, our new bodies that Yahweh is going to give us, they're not going to have blood flowing through them. That's because remember Pastor brought out how impure the blood is and the toxins that are in the blood from sin. But the Spirit of Yahweh is going to be ruling our bodies. If we don't develop that Spirit of Yahweh and that character of Yahweh, what are we going to have to rule our bodies? We're going to have a weak, dying spirit, right? And we can't have that. So, because we'll die. So, you have to put aside the things of the world and focus on building the Spirit of Yahweh. But in today's world, it's so easy to grieve Spirit Holy, because Satan puts so many pulls and so many influences that are desirable. And another thing, they're instant. They're instant. You know, you get, like Pastor always mentions, you know, instant coffee, instant this, instant that. We want everything instant. So we have this instant so-called joy that comes from worldly influences and worldly desires. But this is the difference between worldly desires and the joy that comes from Yahweh's way. Okay? Worldly desires, they last as long as you're doing something worldly, okay? You're watching a movie, as soon as the movie's over, well, you know, you're back to the real world again with a day-to-day grind, and you're not joyful anymore. So you go and watch another movie. And then at the end of that movie, you're back to the day-to-day grind again. So you need to, it's like a drug. You have to keep doing something to keep getting it, or, you know, searching after money, or whatever it might be that is your worldly influence. It's like a drug. You want that joy, that supposed joy, that comes from doing that thing, so you have to keep going back to it and going back to it and going back to it. And you keep doing things to get that joy. So that's the trap that Satan has you in. It's like, you know, chasing your tail, like Pastor says, a dog chasing its tail, because you never get satisfied. You always have to keep going back for more. However, joy that comes from Yahweh, it's developed and it's built and it stays with you. Okay? Praise Yahweh. But it gets stronger and stronger to where you're able to rejoice in everything that Yahweh puts before you. Okay, when you study, you have that to carry you throughout the day, knowing that, you know, I'm going to pick up on this the next morning because you know how joyful it made you throughout the day. And you'll literally see how much smoother it makes your day go. But it's a lasting, fervent joy and a love that comes from your heart. You know, you actually love the laws of Yahweh, like Pastor said, like a dear friend. Like especially the Sabbath. You look forward to the Sabbath because you know you're going to learn more of Yahweh's laws. That's that joy that comes from it. That's where Pastor's at. And you know, remember he said he hates to have to get distracted from what he's reading because he's so into it and it's giving him that fervent joy. Okay, that's the difference between Satan's joy that's very short-lived. It's only short-lived while you're doing, it's only alive, so to speak, while you're doing the sinful influence, while you're indulging in sinful influence. But then when you're done, it's done too. Yahweh's joy stays with you. But it's not easy to get it started, especially when, you know, you're knee-deep or over your head in the worldly influences. But you have to force yourself. You have to force yourself to get it started. You know what? As young people, the world targets so many things at us. And it can be hard to break away from them. Extremely hard to break away from them. Without some kind of motivation. So we need that motivation. You know, and nonetheless, growing up in the house, you can see that Yahweh's way is right. You know Yahweh's way is right. You can see the death and the destruction that comes to the world, and you know Yahweh's way is right. But we still seem to fall, you know, back to Satan's way because of that so-called joy that it brings us, right? So what you have to do, you have to remember that Yahweh's way has been proven true for thousands of years. You know, mankind has never had peace except for the time in the days of Solomon when that 40-year time period when Yahweh's laws were being upheld. Never been any other time. So Yahweh's way is proven true, and anything else that opposes that truth is lies, and it brings death. You have to remember that, but rise yourself up early, okay? Force yourself to rise early and pick up that book and study. You know, find something that fascinates you about Yahweh's plan, Yahweh's laws, and use that to start off with, okay? If it's hard to get into anything else, use that to start off with, and let the joy grow from that and build to more deeper things. You know, we have the prophetic words and newsletters and everything else that comes out that we really should be keeping up with. We have the press releases that we should be keeping up with. Okay, so find something that fascinates you about Yahweh's plan and build from there. Okay, fight the urge to cloud your mind with worldly garbage. And then continue to find your joy in Yahweh. By doing that, you'll bring that joy that Pastor has. You'll bring that joy to yourself that you're trying to find from the world, but you're just not getting it. You'll find that fervent joy that stays with you and comes from your heart, okay? It'll stay with you, and it'll be the motivating drive that'll keep you in Yahweh's house. Praise Yahweh. So this will actually bring us to unity. This is what Pastor's talking about. He wants that unity in the house of Yahweh. We need that unity in order to get to where we need to be. This is what will bring us to unity. Everyone coming to that joy from the laws of Yahweh, by building the spirit of Yahweh in you, by feeding and nurturing the character of Yahweh. That's how you do it, and it'll allow us to thrive in Yahweh's way. So, praise Yahweh. If you'll all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker, the great Kahan, Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. So have you heard the great news? The UN's going to save us. The ones that started this whole thing and got us all in this trouble, they're going to get us out of it. Okay, let me, I got so much stuff here, man. It's incredible, okay? The amount of things that are being brought out in these last days that Yahweh's shown us are just so incredible. Let me start out. Last Sabbath, 12:12, the pastor, right there, me and pastor were speaking, and he told me about this press release that had come out, and he had noticed that the release date of the letter was 11/27/15. It was called Israel Hawkins Says He Can Prove Why He's the Only One with the Plan to Stop the Wars and Fighting. And he noticed the impression, the total number of headline impressions, that number 144,000, and then the comma, and then the 630, showing them separated. Okay, I want you to keep those in your mind. Very important numbers that were impressed in his mind when he saw that. And we're going to be talking about that. Now, also, we're going to be talking about the Paris Climate Conference as well. But I want you to remember about 2015. Do you remember 2015 was 5/12 backwards? Everybody remembers that? And how on 5/12, Pastor had his dream about Yahweh being in full control. And we were all looking forward to 5/12. Well, I got news for you. We have something else to look forward to. This year, 2016, is 6/12 backwards. Okay? And I don't know if you know what's coming up on 6/12. This is our new calendar. Can we pull that in a little bit? Sorry, I'm having technical difficulties here, but 6:12 is the Feast of Pentecost this year. Okay, 6:12 is the Feast of Pentecost. Keep that in your mind, very important. And I also want to give you a definition. 6:12 means bind, band, bond, as in the bond of unity that the great deacon just got through speaking about, and other things that we're going to be going through. Okay, now I told you, today's 12:19, by the way, just to whet your appetite a little bit on that. Today is 12:19, and it's from 12:10, and it means to gather. It also means, and it means to fence and fortify. It means secrets and mysteries, inaccessible things. Remember, the secrets are being revealed at the house of Yahweh in these last days. And it's from 12:10, and it means clipped the grape crop. And I know y'all remember this event, the wave picture that was seen in Scotland on the 10th of December, 2014, which was a year ago. The great Kohan David Heimerman got up here last week, and with his the other great Kohan Sapanya, and they did the question and answer show impression. I don't know if you noticed there that little hat, but that's Jacob right there, standing in the exact same position as they were up here on the stage. You'll notice his little hat here, and here's his face, and Pastor's ahead of him because Pastor's the spokesperson. That's all I'm going to say about that right now. But just, that was a awesome sermon last week, wasn't it? Okay. Also, December 12th, yes. If y'all remember, or December 19th in history, today's December 19th. You remember the two teachers that saw this over the sanctuary? December 19th, the two Peaceful Solution teachers saw the age box, the box with the word age and the SHDHF, and showing, Pastor explained us about the holy place and the most holy place. So I got to thinking, well, how many days has that been since that December 19th, 2011 that they saw and today? And it's 1,462 days, as you can see. So I looked up 1,462. Remember, we're still talking about what Pastor talked about last week about this 144,000. Here's the word, 1,462, and it means grasshoppers. And it's from this word here. So let's take a look at it. It's word number 1,361, and it means to be high, to be exalted. It means prominence of forehead. Prominence of forehead. Be high, lofty. It also means, I want to get to this here because there's another important thing that it says. It says to be exalted, a man of dignity and honor, a servant of Yahweh. And it gives Isaiah 52:13 and so on and so forth. Now also, 1462 in the Greek is this word here. And it means an accusation and charges. Turn over to Revelation 14 real quick. Because I got to get into my sermon. I haven't got to my sermon yet. I really got to get to it. Revelation 14. And we're going to be going over this more later. It wasn't really my intention today, but I do got to mention it. And it talks, first of all, in chapter 13, you see this beastly system that comes from the earth, okay, that we're experiencing right now, causing all, this mark of the beast, to take this mark of the beast that they take upon themselves. And then in chapter 14, it says, and I looked and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. Where's Mount Zion? It's right here, right? The house of Yahweh. And with him, 144,000, having his name and his father's name written in their foreheads. Remember the prominence of the forehead? Okay, it doesn't mean we all have these big old monkey-looking foreheads. It means that Yahweh's laws, the peaceful solution, and Yahweh's name, what it stands for, are written in our minds. Okay? In our hearts and minds. Also, if you notice, like I said, I can't go through this whole thing. But if you go down to verse 4, it talks about that these are the first fruits of Yahweh. Write that down, because in another sermon coming up, I'll show you more about that, where it ties into a planet that was actually spotted a couple days ago on December 17th. It was on CNN. It was a planet that was 14 light years from Earth, another Earth-sized planet, a habitable planet, because it's in the Goldilocks zone, and the number was 1461, and it means first fruits. I don't have time to get into that right now. But it says in verse 5, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault. That means they're being accused by Satan the accuser, but they're going to receive a sentence of acquittal. The white stone, remember? That's talking about us, house of Yahweh. We'll get into that more later at another time. Right now, I got to get into this. Can you play the clip, please? Go ahead and play the clip. Y'all remember last week, 12-12, they had the big climate conference in Paris, and I want you to watch this clip.
When I'm saying the planet also means, very concretely, our very survival. We are, all of you know it, on the edge of a climatic abyss, of a climatic abyss. Of a climatic abyss. In fact, we have 500 days to avoid a climate chaos. 500 days to avoid a climate chaos. 500 days to avoid a climate chaos.
At the United Nations on Friday, Francis told the UN General Assembly that the environment should enjoy the same rights and protections as humanity. It must be stated that a true right of the environment does exist, Francis said. The declaration gives nature far greater primacy in Catholic Church thinking than before, deepening the traditional responsibility of humans to serve as stewards of the environment.
L'accord de Paris pour le climat est accepté.
Boy, they were really excited, weren't they? Well, they have every reason to be. They're going to be billionaires. Okay, now, remember the French foreign minister mentioned that 500 days to climate chaos. In fact, he also mentioned it that same day alongside Secretary of State John Kerry, standing next to him when he said it. The world has 500 days to avoid it. And then along comes Pope Francis 500 days later at the UN. And y'all remember what that 500 meant? It meant an opponent of the Messiah, the anti-Messiah. Remember that? And that he was driving his little Fiat 500. Y'all remember that? Okay. Remember that word Fiat means to rule by command. Now, I don't know if y'all remember, but that climate agreement, that climate conference was supposed to end on the 11th. But they extended it for one day to 12-12. Well, I wonder if that was by design. You better believe it. Remember, this is the year of light, right? This is the year of light. Remember the year of light, okay? The UN International Year of Light 2015. There's their little emblem, their Temple of Apollo with the sun god Apollo's signature right there, the sun with the rainbow around it. And if you remember, 2015 also means appearing manifestation to show forth. Keep these definitions in your mind. And it's from 2016, which means to manifest, glorious, illustrious, in a transforming way to become visible. And also means to appear, to shine. It means light. Okay, to shine upon. It's probably a coincidence, right? By the way, where did the year of light begin? International Year of Light? Oh, did you know that France just extended the year of light? They're having such a great time in Paris that they just extended the year of light. This is from the UN webpage, till June 2016. Huh. 6/12 coming up, isn't it? And also June 30th, 6:30. Wasn't that the number Pastor saw? 6:30? You saw that on the impressions, right? They've extended. They're having such a great time. And, you know, by the way, the Year of Light was launched on January 8th with an opening ceremony in Paris. In Paris. Well, of course, you know. Why Paris? Well, because Paris, as everyone knows, here's from Wikipedia, Paris is known as the City of Light. The City of Light. The City of Light. And, you know, it kicked off on the 8th. And just the day before, we had the Charlie Hebdo shooting in Paris. Y'all remember that? 12 people gunned down in Paris at the Charlie Hebdo shooting on January 7th. Which was, by the way, by coincidence, 666 days after the election of Pope Francis. Huh? By coincidence, right, House of Yahweh? By coincidence. 12-12. Y'all remember, because last year around this time, I brought out that 12-12 was the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, or also known as Satan. Mary. Right there, there's her feast day, December 12th. 12-12. By the way, another great Kahan got up here last week, and he talked about 12-12. He talked about the shadow of protection that all of us have if we keep Yahweh's laws here at the house of Yahweh. And that's from this word, 6751, which means defense or shade. And it's from 6751, which means to be or become or grow dark. You know, it's going to begin, they're getting ready to be thrust into thick darkness. Do you understand? The world I'm talking about. And it's from 6749, which means to sink. Babylon is falling. Okay? To sink and be submerged. And it's from 6751, which beginning to grow dark. And it says, compare 6754, which is right here. It means an idol, an image, a resemblance, image or likeness. Remember that image and likeness of the beast that they're making for the world to accept? Remember, they're being deceived. They're falling for this Luciferian teaching, in the year of Lucifer that we're in right now, the year of light. Remember what Lucifer means. 12-12 in the Greek means clear, manifest, evident, fully clear, manifest, grasping what is unmistakable. Yes, Yahweh is making this very clear what is taking place. I got to show you. Here, look at this. Notice the word, delos. That's the Greek word for 12-12. Well, coincidentally, you remember the UN and Apollo and all their love for Apollo? Well, here's Delos. Delos is the island that the god Apollo was born on. Right here, Delos. In Greek mythology, this is precisely why Leto escaped the wrath of Hera, was able to find sanctuary here in order to give birth to Apollo and Artemis, or Diana, as the book of Acts calls her, Diana of Ephesians. Remember that? That's a coincidence, isn't it, House of Yahweh? And you don't think the UN knows about that? This is from their page. The UN don't know about that? Yeah, they do. And they show right here that they know in Greek mythology that that's where Apollo's sanctuary was, and that's where he was born. Interesting, isn't it, House of Yahweh? And notice, here's the temple of Apollo. I've shown this before. It had the six pillars, just as you see on the UNESCO, United Nations, UNESCO, the six pillars, Apollo's temple. So what were they discussing on 12:12? Well, they were discussing carbon 12, right? And which contains six protons, six neutrons, and six electrons, 666. And if you know that carbon, the symbol of carbon is C, and the number of the atomic number is 6. Isn't that interesting? Shows the number of man and man's system and what man is made of. Remember, we are made, I showed you this before, of carbon. That's what we're made from. By the way, diamonds are nothing but carbon too, so I guess we need to take those diamonds the Pope has, and we need to hawk them, man, because they're killing everybody. You know? Now, I thought this was interesting. This is Secret Societies from Life magazine. One of them are called the Carbonari. You know, because they're coal burners, charcoal burners. That's where they got their name. I guess they're going to have to give up that job because they're going to be taxed big time. Speaking of carbon footprints, Al Gore, the chief climate pusher, he's got a big footprint. It says that his house in 2006 used up 221,000 kilowatts of power, more than 20 times the average national average, and that his bill for that month was $1,359, and that he paid $30,000 in combined electric and natural gas bills for his Nashville estate in 2006, while he was putting out the movie An Inconvenient Truth about global warming being caused by carbon. Right? Well, look here. Look at the carbon footprint the Paris conference is making. A whopping 300,000 tons of carbon dioxide will be churned out during the two-week climate change summit that began Monday in Paris. You know, the ones that are so concerned about this carbon are the ones that are making the most. Hey, by the way, December 12th ended, you know, Saturday evening, and then went into the 13th, and they were still in Paris having their conference. I don't know if you all know about St. Lucy. St. Lucy, you know, Lucifer. Her feast day is December 13th, right? St. Lucy. And her Lucy, whose name can mean light or lucid, is the patron saint of the blind, talking about the world, because the world is blind. It's their patron saint. Here's a little more on St. Lucy. It says the church has a long tradition of absorbing what starts as pagan traditions, and then they Christianize them. Shows here that the name Lucy, which is etymologically connected to the Latin word for light, is also connected to the name Lucifer, thus reminds us of the forces of good and evil that we face in our lives. Yeah, it's just a coincidence, right, House of Yahweh? It's a coincidence. What time did the climate change agreement come into effect? 7:26 p.m. It says that at 7:26, president of the conference, Mr. Climate Chaos, Climate Abyss, Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius struck his gavel to bring Saturday's final session to a close at 7:26 p.m. Paris time. Here's another proof. It was 7:26 p.m. on Saturday night that the historic climate agreement was reached at the conference center there in Paris. Well, 7:26, this is fitting. It means to seize. It means to carry off by force, to claim for oneself eagerly. Didn't they look really eager to get those billions of dollars? You know, that's why they were all like so gleeful because they're going to get filthy rich. You understand that? Filthy rich off your carbon footprint that you're making, you worthless breathers and eaters. Well, that's what you're looked upon by the elite of this world. You're taking up space. It's from 138. It means to take for oneself. And it also means to choose by vote. To choose by vote. Well, you know, their consensus was a little fuzzy because, you know, when he put his gavel down, there were some dissenters out there in the audience that didn't even vote for it. Do you understand that? Not everyone agrees with this. You know, not everyone agrees with it. They didn't want to hear everybody's side of the story, but they said that, you know, there's a consensus. And, you know, after all, they had their magic 1113 attacks in Paris that put a stop to anyone, even any opposition at all to this. Did you notice that? They weren't allowed to do any demonstrations at all in public because of the fact that of the Paris attacks, they put into action a 9/11 type law that says no public protest at all for 3 months. That was magical, wasn't it? I got to show you this. The moment of truth, Ban Ki-moon called on the parties to finish the job, saying solutions were on the table and were there for the taking. But notice, the only solution that wasn't on the table was the peaceful solution, right? And Yahweh's laws. Ban Ki-moon said, "The end is in sight." He's got that right. "Let us now finish the job. The whole world is watching. Billions of people are relying on your wisdom," speaking to the parties that were going in to vote on this. Their wisdom? Well, remember, the wisdom of the world is foolishness with Yahweh, isn't it? And it also says it's demonic and earthly. The wisdom that descends from the earth or that comes from the earth is demonic and it's sensual and earthly. So how many nations agreed to this? I'm almost getting there. COP21, here's from their climate deal. 196 delegations approved this on December 12th. That's 195 states plus the European Union. And as a matter of fact, here's from the Washington Post. 196 countries approve historic climate agreement. And the ones that came to 196 was the Palestinians. They said that they're going to accept it, and they became the 196th state party to climate change convention. Well, what does 196 mean? 196 means foolish, evil. It's from the same as evil, it says. Evil and fool. Fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken and what's causing global warming. You know, the wisdom that descends from above, Yisrael Hawkins, he already told them what's causing global warming back in 2007, in June of 2007. He told them what's taking place. Now, I got to show you this before I go. This is the adoption of the Paris Agreement right here. And it shows you on page 2 that they're going to have a signing ceremony on the 22nd of April, 2016. Well, why the 22nd of April? I'll show you one of the reasons. We're going to be here at the Feast of Passover, which begins on the 22nd of April. Okay? Also, it's called a universal agreement. Why don't you just put Catholic in there? Because that's what it means. And it says the signing of the Paris Agreement. This is from the UN's website. I want you to notice their words. These aren't mine. It says, following the adoption of the Paris Agreement, the Conference of Parties, it will be deposited at the UN in New York and be open for 1 year to the signature on April 22nd, 2016, Mother Earth Day. This is their words. These aren't mine. Mother Earth Day. Remember Gaia, the Earth goddess that they worship at the UN? Right here. UN Climate Pact signing for Earth Day. in New York, 666, New York City, 666, who made International Mother Earth Day? The United Nations. Look at this. International Mother Earth Day. Remember Mother Earth? We got to save Mother Earth, the Pope says. Save Mother Earth. Who cares about the people? The Georgia Guidestones says we got to knock this down to about 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. Who cares about people? And here you go. Who's the earth mother? From Greek mythology, Gaia. The mother earth, mother nature, the Greek goddess Gaia. That's all I have time for right now. But remember, oh, by the way, you know, those Georgia Guidestones were set up on 322, March 22nd, 322. You remember that number? Skull and Bones? Secret Society, Skull and Bones, 322, that's their number. Remember, he was asked about that by Tim Russert. What, you're Skull and Bones? What about 322? Yeah, what about it? I think Yahweh's exposing it, right, House of Yahweh? I think we know that Lucifer is being worshipped in the UN. Malachi Martin said that Lucifer worship had taken over. Of course, we know the whole world's worshiping Satan. But they're being tricked. And by the way, this goes into effect. The sustainable development, climate change is only number 13 on the 17 goals of sustainable development. And it goes into effect January 1st, 2016. Okay? The UN, it's a total takeover of the earth. This is what they're doing. That's all I got time for right now. I'd like to turn it over to the great Kohan, Ilya Hyler. Yahweh bless you.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Of course, this world is seen and going the way of Cain. Remember what Pastor brought, the tree of righteousness and the tree of a mixture of righteousness and evil, being Cain and Abel and the teachings. Well, of course, this world has gone the way of Cain, continual war, and sadly we see the effects of this taking place not only in adults, not just the teachers or the preachers of this world, but also in the children. And we're going to start out in the news with a father who has Hodgkin's lymphoma disease, a mother who has ovarian cancer, and their 8-year-old daughter, imagine this, 8-year-old daughter finding a lump in their upper regions of their body. 8 years old. And of course, everybody's asking why. Why is this taking place? Well, of course, it's the curses being passed down from one generation to the next generation, just as Yahweh said these things would take place. And your heart goes out because you know it's the lack of keeping of Yahweh's laws, this safety, this protection that is given through them. It's the lack of teaching and keeping these things. Of course, the teaching is the only teaching taking place is coming from Yahweh's house. Then we take a look at the refugees from the Middle East headed into Europe. They're going to be at 991,000 refugees that have been displaced. And when you see them going in, it reminds you of the Okies leaving Oklahoma, heading to California for the Dust Bowl, because no one there wants them. They're spitting at them. They're making racist remarks toward them. And you're seeing a true hatred. For it's the Muslim religion, of course. Now, Muslims, they don't have Yahweh. They have forms of righteousness. They have pieces and parts, but you can't have pieces and parts. You have to have the whole thing to be with Yahweh. You have to be in unity, in one, in unity with Yahweh. Now, they don't have that. And remember what the Peaceful Solution teaches about verbal and emotional abuse? It's just as harmful as physical. And, of course, they're suffering much physical abuse. It's the Pope, the Vatican, telling them, we don't want you here. You're not welcome, not on this earth. We don't need you here. Of course, they don't want them here due to the modesty. And notice this, you're going to see a few examples of where they're attacking the women, and they can decide who they are because of the modest dressing. They dress modestly. Of course, Christians don't dress modestly. So they identify them and they start ridiculing them and bashing them. They even take the walk over a handicapped man and throw it off the bus to where he can't even reach it. Now, this is not welcoming. This is not showing care and concern. It's showing a pure hatred. But remember where that hatred come from. Remember what's put into their minds. Of course, mosque attacks, they're also seen where mosques are being closed in France. They're shutting them down. And then consider our presidential candidates that are up right now. They're looking for votes. They want your vote. They want to win you over. And Donald Trump, one of the many who is the leader right now for the Republican Party, he says that we should go after, if you're an offender, we should go after your family. If you're a husband, then we should go after your wife. Now, we just seen this in San Bernardino, and look at what's going on in California. Now they're going after the neighbor who is a Muslim. It makes you wonder if he was a Christian, if anybody would have said anything to him, if they would have bothered him. But now, if you're a kinfolk, if you're close to them, if you're a Muslim, well, you could be guilty also, even if you didn't know anything about it. We'll decide whether you're guilty or not. Remember, this is not a new thing. Remember what Israel is doing. They're saying that Palestinians should be shot on sight. And whenever a Palestinian offends, they go and they demolish the family's house. This is not a new thing that Donald Trump has said. And then we have Ted Cruz, who is our local U.S. senator of our area running for president. His comment was that we should go see if we can make the sands glow by carpet bombing them. Now, this is a man who wants to be president, and his numbers are soaring because he's talking about annihilating a group of people who they're putting in the minds of everyone on this earth, no matter where you live, that if you live by a Muslim, you'll probably be shot and killed. Even though here in America, I dare say the Christians are far winning that war as far as murder. But they're putting in the minds, if you see someone like that, get away from them. Don't live by them. Move. Do whatever you got to do to get away from them. Now, also, John Kerry being at the UN, and keep in mind, he was at the UN this last week, a resolution drawn up for a ceasefire in Syria, saying that they can start bringing peace. Don't be fooled by this. Remember, it was just a few years ago when President Obama spoke at the UN, and he said, resolutions and agreements at the UN don't bring peace. Peace is hard work, is what President Obama said. So drawing these resolutions up mean absolutely nothing. It's all a political stance to remove Assad from office, and that's what they're looking toward. Also, McAfee of McAfee Anti-Software was a spokesperson on RT this week, and he is saying that ISIS is smarter than anyone has given them credit for, and there is no way to process the vast information that is sent across the internet. And that ISIS has much more superior computer systems than what we've ever imagined. Makes you wonder where that came from. Not from gathering sand in the Middle East, for sure. So these things, pay attention to what's being said, because these things did not just evolve in the last few months. Also, President Putin sends out a warning saying anyone who attacks Russia in Syria will be destroyed immediately. No questions asked. He has said it and made a very bold statement with it. And then pay attention to Congresswoman Gabbard. Now, this is something very important. Remember, she's on the Arms Committee. And when you see her, don't take her at a first glance and think, what would she know? She seems like she's from Hawaii. She's a surfer. She also holds the rank of major in the armed forces of the military. She's also on a committee that gets classified information. Her main concern is nuclear war. That's her main topic. And that's what she's drilling Ashton Carter, who is the defense secretary. She's drilling him over it. And listen to what she says and how she says it. Nuclear war could take place in minutes. There is no warning when it could take place. Whenever it goes, it goes. And there's nothing we can do. And it's going to be devastating. And remember, she has classified information. She's asking questions from her knowledge of content that may not be released to us as the public. And then we go to the last but not least, we go to Pope Francis first, who's saying that agreement not made in France will be suicide for everyone. But then we go to Sophie & Co. It's a show that's shown on RT. Now, remember, this lady is the granddaughter of the president of Georgia. That was a country where pastor had presented the peaceful solution. And they said, if you come, you may not be able to get back. And remember, peace was taken from the earth at that time with those three countries where they had offered the peaceful solution. They wanted it, but there was no guarantee of return. So it was held back. It was pulled back from the earth. Well, this young lady is the granddaughter of that president. And she's interviewing a nuclear technical expert. And he's saying that nuclear war could take place even by accident due to you have a grudging military campaign going, one country not wanting to get let someone get the upper hand on them, they feel something's been shot off in the atmosphere and they could attack right off the bat immediately. Now watch how powerful they say these missiles are. They say one missile known as the SS-18 from Russia carries 10 nuclear warheads and is 100 times greater than the bomb that was dropped on Japan in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They're saying it could literally wipe out the 5 boroughs of New York and also New Jersey. One missile. Now, of course, if a missile is shot, they're going to shoot one right back. And he's saying that this is very, very possible in taking place. And remember what Congresswoman Gabbard said, just a matter of minutes. There is no forewarning. It's not like a tornado siren and you know it's coming. Remember what Yahshua said, you know the time by the seasons. You know the people, the leaders, by their fruits. So at this time, if we could please play the news. At this time, if everyone would please stand, we'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Yahweh bless you. Hey, this is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. No, really. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I want you I'd like to put you on high alert. The government's putting everybody on high alert. I'd like to put you on high alert and tell you to start watching this news. I'm going to repeat some of that because I don't think the people caught it. I can see it much better than that character can and show you and show you how it ties into the Holy Scriptures. We've got a new thing coming out in the Prophetic Word magazine, and it's called the Bread Sack. The Bread Sack? Watch for it. These people do so great in this writing this, I can't get that thing to work. Anyway, it says his house will be established forever like the moon, the faithful witness in the sky. Psalms 89:37. I've got a stack of those that high, you know, but I can't take time, of course, to read all of them. The men, the government leaders, the Yale University Catholics. I don't know if you saw that or not, but Yale University is, I'd say, probably 75% Catholic. They allow Jews there. They call them Jews. Still trying to insult them. But they allow those in the college. They have to because they're receiving Jewish funds, so they've got to allow Jews. And, of course, every Catholic organization in the United States, including orphanages, schools, and everything, is paid for by our taxes. And of course, the Catholic Church gets their part of that. But I want you to know that man makes plans to destroy his enemies. Now, that's what they're telling you. They've got to make plans to destroy their enemies. And right now, according to most of the way the world is taking it, it's Muslims or those who wear veils. Well, right now we see the governments, we see the Vatican that is making plans to destroy the earth. They claim they're making plans to protect the people from climate change. They haven't read the book, or maybe they read it and just rejected it. But the book, there's more and more scientific proof coming out all the time to show that microorganisms are sick in heaven. And this is the reason they're not cleaning the heavens, and it's not the reason for disasters, but the real cause of global warming, the book. That's what everyone needs to read, and And of course, know the truth about what is causing the climate changes, all the earthquakes. I never heard of an earthquake in Oklahoma. And now they had 800 and something last year, 850 of them in Oklahoma. I never heard one. I lived there for several years. I was born and raised there. No such thing. They started taking peace from the earth. Now, I covered that in Revelation 6. Revelation 6, Yahweh shows that the Vatican gave orders, gave authority to one of the quartets, to take peace from the earth. That started. It's already started. That's why the wars are going on, and it tells you where. In and around the great river Euphrates. In and around the great river Euphrates. In that fourth part of the earth. It tells you what. How did they know it's going to be there? Why not in America? We find ways to make they find ways to make their actions seem necessary and righteous. That's what the Vatican is putting forth right now. That's what the Pope has been visiting all these people for and saying, we're committing suicide if you don't follow the Vatican in this way to save the earth. What they don't realize what they've done and what they've agreed to do. And it won't be shown to them but a little bit at a time, and different ones will do different things. Now that's what we are seeing right now coming forth from the Vatican, the divining spirit. The divining spirit, that's what Vatican means, and you can look that up for yourself. The divining serpent is what it means. Here's headlines, says France to change constitution to extend state of emergency. Now, look for constitution in the news articles. Changing the constitution. The constitution, one of our main ones, is of course the First Amendment. And I don't know how many here would know what that means. But you need to find out what it means. And you need to remember and look for this in the news. It's taking place right now. They don't want us to be able to preach Yahweh's plan of salvation, nor to warn the world of what it's getting into. And we are doing that right now. They're wanting to stop it and make it make a law where they can legally, according to the Vatican, the supreme judge of the whole world now, yes, the only ones they're not in judgment of is the house of Yahweh, and we have a judge called Yahshua over the house of Yahweh. And he says that the gates of hell will not prevail against his house this time. Nation in shock as Yule students, Yale students. This was the one that was founded by a Puritan, then quickly taken over by the Catholics. You know, the Puritans, I don't know if you've studied their history, but they fought Christmas for years and years and finally gave in. They couldn't, they couldn't stand up against the Catholic Church. Well, now at Yale University, of course, is where they train soldiers to go out and take their positions in battle. And, of course, they train them in religion so they can be chaplains and, work in prisons or go out with the soldier boys and tell them, yeah, go ahead and kill these people. That's all right. You'll go to heaven anyway. You have a license to kill from God. And Jesus, of course, that by this sword you will conquer. By this, by war you will conquer. And in Revelation 6, if you remember, says, now listen to me, it says he went out, he was given this authority to go out conquering and to conquer. Well, of course, this is going on right now in that fourth part of the earth, in and around the great river Euphrates. When activists filmmaker, Hortzwoff, visited the Yale campus to see how many students would sign a demand to eliminate the entire First Amendment. He was shocked to find that they gladly supported the idea. Well, why? Because they'd been told to do so by the Pope, by the Vatican, the leader of the kings of the earth. I'm going to prove that to you before this sermon's out, because we can see it vividly now in what is taking place. Hurtful speeches, they want to stop hurtful speeches, they say. They shouldn't be protected. A hurtful speech is Pat Robertson saying the name of the Creator is Yahweh. A hurtful speech is saying by Pat Robertson and any other preachers that wants to join with him and saying on Halloween night, the children, that's the time when the children all go out and worship Satan and the demons. That's a hurtful speech. And of course, they're wanting to stop this. The Pope says that he wants to stop all free press. That's what Netanyahu said before the Pope made his announcement. Netanyahu said it's the newspapers reporters that's causing all the trouble. They shouldn't report us killing all these people and taking their land. They should not report this. And he says one day we will have a Palestinian leader that will want peace. Of course, what he's saying is they'll have a Palestinian leader that won't object to them taking this land and killing all these people. And we will have peace, he says. Well, you'll never have peace. And when you're stealing, you can never steal and have peace in doing so. When you take something that don't belong to you, it creates hatred and it creates war, bitterness. And that's the way of Cain and the way of Satan, the devil. The First Amendment means freedom of religion. That's one thing. We would never be able to be here right now in any other country. No other country would allow what the United States was set up by Yahweh to do. And that's take the message of Yahweh to all nations. So freedom of religion is one of the amendment, the First Amendment. Freedom of speech is another one. Freedom of peacefully assembling. Yes, they got laws against assembling in other nations, other states. Freedom to petition the government. All of those things is the First Amendment that they want to wipe out. And, of course, the great Yale University, who's a follower of the Vatican and been told, you're going to be the heroes in this. You're going to be the ones that bring the nation to peace, because you won't allow these other religions to worship. You won't allow freedom of speech or freedom of religion or even assembly. Yes, that comes forth straight from the Vatican, the divining serpent. France. Now, this just started, but here France's state of emergency could be extended indefinitely. France's state of emergency. France, let me find the other one. France to change constitution to extend state of emergency. Well, they say they got to do this. They got to stop freedom of speech because somebody's going to tell them what they're doing and how evil it is. And, of course, how they're not telling the people what they're actually going to do. I'm going to show you what they're going to do here in just a moment. Chris Christie said it. He said, we're already in World War III. It's not something that's coming. It's something that's already in progress. The Department of the Department of Homeland Security bulletin warns of new phase of terrorist threats. The Department of Homeland Security on Wednesday issued a bulletin warning the public that the Islamic State, you see where they put the hatred? Since then, the hatred has the assaults against the Muslims in the United States has tripled since they put this out. This is the hatred that they are stirring up. Remember, Malachi Martin said in his book, The Keys of This Blood, also is in his interview, that the Vatican, he said Mary, the Jeremiah said the Queen of Heaven, Satan, the devil, is going to make war against all of those who will not worship her. Daniel said they're going to try to destroy every form of holiness. That's translated the holy people, but it actually means every form of holiness, including the wearing of the veil. And they right away, they start putting hatred in the minds of the people for anyone who wants to wear the veil or the jihad, I think that's what it's called. Islamic State is trying to radicalize Americans, they say. The Islamic State is trying to radicalize the Americans through the internet and social media. See, so they want to knock out both the internet and the social media, and calling for more public awareness of the possibility of these threats. They don't have any threats. They have a possibility of threats. Well, of course, it's possible for some nut to threaten somebody or something, but they don't have any. And they say this. They say they don't have it. They just want to make you aware, and they want to prepare. How do they want to prepare? By taking away the internet, by taking away free speech. That's two of the ways. By creating checkpoints, yes, throughout the United States, and they say this is going to be in operation within 6 months. I'm trying to wake you up to this. You better listen closely. Terrorist groups of the internet to inspire and recruit. Recent attacks and attempted attacks internationally and in the homeland warrant increased security as well as increased public vigilance. You know, get your guns and get ready to shoot Muslims. This is what they're saying in their propaganda here. Vigilance, public vigilance and awareness, he said. Now get this. Though we know no intelligence that is both specific and credible at this time of a plot by a terrorist. They know of none, but they've got to get ready, and they've got to get their police squads, get more police officers, use the Air Force, the Yale University, all of them. Put uniforms on them and get them out here to check in your bags in the grocery store. The bags you come in with and the bags you leave with, to see if you bought something in the grocery store that might explode. Homeland extremists may be encouraged, they may be encouraged or inspired to target public events or places. So we're going to beat them there with a squad, a mob squad. Johnson added that his department is also worried about possible threats to particular communities. Particular communities, therefore, we'll have to what? Surround the Muslims to protect them? You know, that's the way they're doing in Israel. See what they're doing in Israel. Look at the way they're doing it, and you'll see what they're going to do to the United States within 6 months. We were told this several years ago by a man whose son was working in intelligence in Washington. And, of course, he told us, he cried when he saw, now this has been 5 or 6 years ago, I think, he cried when he saw what the government plans to do to the United States. Before the terrorist threats ever got started. Johnson added that these threats to particular communities in the U.S. based on perceived religion, ethnicity, and nationality. Anyone who's not white, is that how they're going to classify them? The birth certificates don't mean anything, they said now. You know, so you got to look at them. Are they wearing a veil? Is their clothing different? Maybe we should all get us some uniforms, huh? No, forget about that. Forget about that. Put your trust in Yahweh. He also said the bulletin had a duration of 6 months during which these heightened steps will be noticed. 6 months. The public should expect an increase in presence of law enforcement across communities in the weeks ahead, he said. More stringent security. Now get that, law enforcement, okay, you got that? Law enforcement, increased presence of law enforcement. Number two, stringent security. Stringent security. Number three, this may include heavy police presence, additional restrictions. You got to get that. Write it down if you have to, but please remember it. And searches of bags and the use of screening technology, like they do at the airport. Let me see if I can find let's see, here it is. Stringent enforcement, restrictions. Now, this article here, it says ratification of the convention. Now, we just had, the convention enters into force, F-O-R-C-E. Now, this is not a request to be righteous and all work in unity. Like Yahweh says, we're going to do in His kingdom. And if you're not in unity, you won't be there. And He puts that down rather strictly and firmly. Then shows you examples of what non-unity brought all throughout the Holy Scripture. But this is going to be forced. Currently, there are 196 parties, 195 states, and one regional economic integration organization to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. Now, this is 196 states, which that's all of them, by the way. That's the whole thing. He had a unanimous vote. Everyone agreed to support the Vatican. Everyone. There's no states that voiced their opposition. That's what the man with the hammer said. I see nobody in opposition. So it is unanimous. It's passed. Now, this won't be signed until I think it's Pentecost. Is that right? Or is it what?
April 22nd.
Won't be signed until then. That's when we're going to be here celebrating Passover. Of course, we'll give you a vacation if you want to go and sign that. Take off a Passover and go sign it. But I don't think anybody here will want to. So it's unanimous, right? Now, I want you to remember these words now. Restriction, remember that. Restriction, stringent security, law enforcement. So this is going to go into force. In about 6 months, it's going to be in force in 6 months. Let's go first to Revelation 17, and look here at verse 1. Revelation 17, because I want to show you what the outcome. The outcome is not going to be peace, brethren. the outcome is going to get worse and worse, and there will be more revolutions. If you remember years and years ago, somebody wrote a book called How to Survive in Hard Times. Of course, he told them when the hell breaks loose in America, there's going to be gangs with guns and other explosives and knives and so forth that will be roaming the cities, taking what they want. And, of course, he gives a way that to prevent that. And that was move out into the desert, build you a house. A lot of them did. All their food rotted. Rats got into it. You name it. They had a hard time living in the city and driving out 150 miles or 200 miles to take care of that underground cellar they built. But anyway, that's the foolishness they got into. By the way, this word, this number 196, means foolish. It actually means foolish if you want to look it up. Without understanding, foolish. That's in the Hebrew. In Greek, it means strictest. Strict, very strict enforcement of this thing. Enforcing rules. The strictest enforcing rules. Now that's what Yahweh shows you. He reveals their secrets. This is not to bring peace. It's not to protect anyone. It's to do exactly what Malachi Martin said the Vatican had planned to do. To make war against all who will not accept Queen Mary, the Queen of Heaven. She's going to make war, and she started that war shortly after that, if you remember. Now, the Vatican has been losing ground. People have been leaving the Vatican and leaving the Roman Catholic Church. She's dropped significantly in the last few years. And the fastest growing, I think, of the religions now is Muslim. We noticed that when in the prisons, they were all turning to the Muslim religion. And of course, we're teaching peace, not fighting in wars, but the Muslims are teaching to protect themselves and their women and so forth. They say they're being forced into war. They don't want war, but they're being forced into war. By who? By the Queen of Heaven, who is making war against them, who sanctions them, who takes their property away, who says you can't wear veils or we will arrest you. Yes, there's cities that's got this law now, Pat. See, if they want something done, all they have to do is pass a law. They don't have to keep the laws of righteousness. They just pass their own laws to do whatever they want to do to those people legally. And they call it legal. And the Supreme Court, they passed a law to make everybody sodomites, to teach sodomy in all the schools. And no one could resist it. Everyone had to participate. All the municipal courts have to participate. Daniel said he was amazed at the amount of laws this beastly system passed. That's in Daniel 7. Well, here in Revelations now, 17, verse 1. There came one of the seven Malachim who had the seven bowls and talked with me. That is the knowledge of these plagues. A messenger of Yahweh who had the knowledge of these plagues that they were going to suffer in this generation that we're in right now from the acts called climate change, under the disguise of climate change, saying we're committing suicide if you don't get behind me and do what I tell you to do. And then they create their enforcements to make sure you don't change your mind. It's not to protect you. It's to make sure no one fights against them in what they plan on doing. The Vatican is getting worried because it's losing members by the thousands, by the millions, about a billion now. So The Pope said openly, we need to resurrect the Roman Empire. That's exactly what they're doing right now. They're resurrecting the Roman Empire, who was all over the streets watching in every community. They would find gatherings where people would leave, sneak away, and go and hide and try to raise their families. And they would find them. They would kill the men, take the children, put them in orphanages, take the women and the young people and make slaves out of them. This was going on in Daniel's day. It's the same pattern that was followed by the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians who owned the Roman army that stood on his part, Daniel 11:31, I believe. He says, well, this messenger who had the knowledge to see what was taking place said, he talked with me, with Yochanan, saying to me, come and I will show you the sentence of the great whore that sets upon many waters. Well, now this same messenger that Yochanan saw talking to him is talking to the world now, the seventh messenger. In Revelations 10, I believe it is, Revelations 10, but in the days, verse 7, in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, or messenger, when he will begin to sound the great secret of Yahweh would be finished, as he declared by his servants the prophets. Well, come and I'll show you these. He that judges, this great whore that sits, that means judges the world. That's what the Vatican is doing right now. And got all the world, the complete world is in unity with him. That's what the scripture says, too. In chapter 12, the first few verses says all the world is going to worship him. Yes, all the world is going to worship him. Well, this proves it right there. 196, that's total. That's the total world right there saying, yes, we're going to follow you. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. That is, they practice sin. They practice God worship and worship of gods and as the evil of the gods, as Genesis 3:5 says. And the inhabitants of the earth have been confused, been made drunk, confused, deceived with the teaching of her fornication. Let's see, how far do we want to go here? Chapter 17, look at verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the midst of God worshipers, and I saw a woman sitting up on a scarlet colored beast full of the names of blasphemy. By the way, try not to buy any shoes, dresses, clothing that's got red in them this time of year, red and white. That's the color that Satan puts in your mind, and it makes it want to start worshiping Santa Claus this time of year. Stay away from those colors as best you can. Having seven heads, seven heads. Did you get that? Seven heads? Look on down to verse 6. He identifies her for you. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. Fox's Book of Martyrs has a history of that. I didn't write it, but it's there for you to see, and most of them were butchered in Rome itself. And I saw the woman drunk with, you know, when they destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, they thought they wiped out all the Sabbath keepers, all the people who would keep Yahweh's feast. Yeshua told his disciples, when you see them compassing Jerusalem, then get out of here. Go. Which they did. They had a work to do, so Yahweh saved them until their work was done. We're reading from their work right here. Right here, the so-called New Testament, book two of the book of Yahweh. Well, there was other people besides them escaped, history said. But the ones that they killed, the ones that they murdered, were ones that kept the Sabbath day and came and kept the feast. And this was Passover, by the way, when General Titus actually made his move. One historian says August. It's not. It wasn't. It was the Feast of Passover, and they said that some historians said there's over 3 million people came to keep that feast. 3 million. That's a sizable number. And almost all of them were wiped out by the Roman army. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Yahshua. And when I saw her, I wondered with great astonishment. Verse 6, look at verse 9. This woman drunk with the blood of the saints. I think we left out something there. Maybe it's 7. Here it is. Verse 7. And the Moloch said to me, "Why are you astonished? I will tell you the mystery." See, this is a secret. I'm going to tell you the secret of this woman. Yahweh revealed secrets. "And of the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads." Well, that's twice we've seen that 7 heads now. One in verse 3, other than in verse 6. 7 heads. You see that? Well, he tells you again. Look on down to verse 9. Verse 9. "Here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 hills." That word means hills. You can look it up in Strong. "On which the woman sits." How many cities sit on 7 hills? And go on to chapter verse 18, because it shows you this city. Look. "And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." 196 states agreed to support the divining serpent. That's all of them. There are no more. They all agreed. The city that reigns. Where will all this lead? Look to verse 18. This is where it leads. Not to peace, not to protecting anyone but Catholics. This is going to backfire on the Catholic Church. But verse 1 through 6, chapter 18. "And after these things, I saw another Moloch." That means one Moloch. In fact, it's the 7th Moloch still speaking. "After these things, I saw the same Moloch." You can find that in Strong's, by the way. One that two witnesses, but one witness. One witness. And that's what it means according to Strong's and others too. "But after these things, I saw another Moloch come down from heaven." That is the authority come down from heaven that guides and inspires, "having great authority. And the earth was enlightened by his glory." Yes, the earth is being enlightened, brethren, from what we're doing right now. We're the only ones that's bringing light. You are the light of the world right now. That's what Yahshua said. "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying," have you noticed how strong my voice is, by the way? Do you know how old I am? And my voice is still strong, they say. You're supposed to be, well. With a strong voice. "Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of demons." Yes, that's what the scripture said. That's what the Pope says. He's fascinated with Satan now, he said. "Habitation of demons, and the hole of every foul spirit, and a cage of unclean and hateful birds, for all nations, here 196 includes all nations, brethren, 196. "All nations have drunk of the wine," that is, taken their teaching, "of the wrath of her fornication." Wrath. It's hatred that she's bringing forth. And it's what she's creating for the Muslims, for all forms of holiness, not just the Muslims, all forms of holiness. And then if you're black, that makes it worse. If you're a black lover, that makes it even worse. I'm all of those things. I'm going to wear those crowns into the kingdom, by the way, everyone. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication, that is, joined in with her, all 196 with her, and the merchants of the earth, yes, the merchants of the earth, getting rich from this, grown rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. 144,000, as was just brought out by the great Benjamin Krause Hawkins, that 144, what caught my eye was that number. You know, because I was, we were talking about it, and I was a little bit discouraged about the number. And then I saw that number, 144, and I said, I'm not discouraged now. 144, which, of course, Revelation 7, and then Revelation 14, where you see Yeshua standing with 144,000. 12 twelves is 144, of course. And then the 630 behind it, following it, which means loosed or set free. The ones who escape of the nations, get out of her now. Come out of her, my people. My people, Yahweh's people. If you want righteousness, you won't find it in the churches or the religions out there warring. The only place you're going to find it is in the house of Yahweh. We're the only place that teaches it. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you do not partake of her sins. Yes, their lives are filled with sin. All of the religions in the world are practicing sin. They belong to Satan, the devil. 1 John 3:4-8. And to them, and to that, and so that you do not receive of her plagues. These seven bowls are plagues. The seven bowls that we are, the house of Yahweh has informed you of, these plagues that are taking place and taking place right now. One of them is taking peace from the earth. The last one is the nuclear war. As you could see the man talking there a while ago that and saying it could take place by accident. Well, I'm thinking it'll take place by accident after somebody deliberately does it, forces it into it. This is what's going to take place. But it's not supposed to hit Rome. See, those people think that they, as Malachi Martin said, come out on top. Russia hopes to come out on top, and so does the United States. These things are not by accident. They're being forced right now in leadership of the Vatican, the divining serpent. And for her sins have reached into the heavens, and Yahweh has remembered her iniquities. That's doing away with the laws of Yahweh, as Daniel 7 shows. Render unto her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works in the cup which she has mixed, for herself, for double. Mixed for her double. Let me see how far we want to go here. Let's see, 18, we're in verse 6. Look on down to verse 8. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, death, mourning and famine in one day, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is Father Yahweh, who that is predicts this. It says judges. Yes, he judges from what you're doing. You're going to cause this to come upon you. Verse 9, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication with her and lived luxuriously with her will wail over her and lament for her when they will see the smoke of her burning, the smoke of her burning, verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, from 1 hour, 1 hour." Do you remember what that man said in the news a few minutes ago? 1 hour. We'll read it again in just a moment. "For in 1 hour, her judgment," that is the fulfillment of that prophecy, "1 hour is come." Look on over to verse 17. Verse 17. "For in 1 hour, such great riches." 1 hour, such great riches. Verse 10 said, verse 10, let me find it here, "standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment." 1 hour your judgment has come. Then verse 17 says, "such great riches," such great riches. Look at verse 19 now. "Such great riches," remember that. "And they cast dust upon their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships in the sea were made rich through her wealth, for in 1 hour," 1 hour, notice what's coming. You see that? That last word in the sentence. Read it for yourself. Read it. You see it? 1 hour. That means destruction. 1 hour, her destruction is come. 1 hour, destroyed. 1 hour. You heard this a while ago on the news. This atomic Armageddon is just 30 minutes away, he said. Dr. Theodore Postol, former advisor to the U.S. Chief of Naval Operations, a professor at MIT, nuclear technology expert. "I do think," he says, "that an accidental nuclear war between the U.S. and Russia is possible. The problem is that as long as forces are on alert at a high level, there's always the possibility of a series of unexpected accidents that could lead to nuclear exchange. I think that's the real danger," he said. Remember, this man is an expert in his field. And he said, "the ballistic missile could be fired basically within 50 or 60 seconds. 50 or 60 seconds. The warning could take minutes to occur. That is, the Russian government of the American government could believe that an attack is on its way. They could access the situation and then collect information and then make a decision whether or not to launch. That could take 10 to 15 minutes. Just 10 to 15 minutes. 10 to 15 minutes. In the case of actual launching a rocket, that would take 40 to 60 seconds. 40 to 60 seconds to launch the rocket. The rocket will then ignite. It will fly out of its silo or its launch hall in the submarine. It would typically undergo powered flight for about between 150 to 300 seconds. 150 to 300 seconds. Depending on whether or not the rocket is what's called a solid propellant or a liquid propellant. So in one case, 5 minutes, in the other, 2.5 minutes. 5 minutes or the other 2.5 minutes. Otherwise, the most is 5 minutes. And then it would release warheads. The warheads would float in the near vacuum of space under the influence of gravity and momentum, and in about 20 to 28 minutes, 20 to 28 minutes, if fired from Russia, in 20 to 28 minutes would arrive at their targets, re-enter the atmosphere, and explode. And explode. Now, what did your scripture say? 1 hour. 1 hour. Remember that. It told you the secret. 1 hour of this nuclear bomb. Now, listen to the rest of this. So the world could be basically finished off in anywhere from 1/2 hour to 1 hour, he says. How in the world could Yahweh know such a thing? One hour and the world could be finished off upon the arrival of these warheads. 1 hour. In Revelations 18, 10, 17, and 19, he shows you 1 hour. I want you to turn to 2 Kefa. I went a little over time, but I think it's worth it to get this in your minds. 2 Kefa 3, 2 Kefa 3. No man could foretell that and show you what's going to take place. And yet, he put it right on the money. 1 hour. He wasn't guessing. He put it. He said 1 hour. It's going to all be over with. So do they. They know this right now. Isn't this something that the missiles, the bombs, everything could be pinpointed? Now, this was 2,000 years ago. Revelations was written in 96. 96, A.C.E. And here it is. Here it is, 2015. And it's right. We didn't have bombs back then. We didn't have bombs back in Yahshua's day on earth or Yochanan's time. There wasn't even firecrackers that I know of back then. But he tells you exactly how long it will take to be fired and to be over with. Finished. Destruction. That's what verse 19 there shows you. Destruction. Get rid of all the riches, everything, in 1 hour. Is that not amazing? Man, oh man. Well, look at Kefa now. He's telling you the same thing here. 2 Kefa 3, verse 10. But the day of Yahweh will come. That is the day of His judgment. What He judged and put in His prophets to tell us. And what I'm repeating to you now is His judgment. Or for doing. He says, if you do this, you will suffer this. That's Yahweh's judgment. It's never failed. Search out the book of Yahweh and read. Not one of these will fail. Not one. Not the one that darkens the sun, as the Savior said in Matthew 24:29. The increase in knowledge, as Daniel said, in starting in 1934. The invention of the nuclear bomb that started in 1934. And the foretelling this of the last witness who was born in 1934. I never cease to be amazed in reading the scriptures. Well, here, 2 Kefa now. But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night in which the heavens, that is a thief. Now, Yahweh said, there's no reason why you should be overtaken with this as a thief. He said, because you are the children of light. You know these things. You know where you're supposed to be. The protected place is no other place except the house of Yahweh. The protected place. But he says, but the day of Yahweh, that is His judgment, what He said would come, is going to come in the night in which a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Now remember, this scientist, this expert said 1 hour. It's going to melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are there in it will be burned up. Strange he had used that word burned. And I remember talking about this when I was 7 years old. I remember this in a house in Oklahoma by lamplight when we were reading about the earth going to be burned. Now, this was being taught to me back then. My dad and mother didn't understand it. I didn't either. But I remember it impressed me for some reason that the earth, the whole earth, was going to be burned. You know, you couldn't do that with a grass fire or something like that, but it was going to be burned. Now, remember what an impression it made on me at that time, and I think that's when I first started loving prophecy, because it was also put in my mind that you could believe these prophecies, because they come true. Well, here are in it, and be burned up. Since all these things will then be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conduct and righteousness? Number one, you should be in unity with me, with Yahshua, with Yahweh. I'm not going to tell you anything that would be out of unity with Yahshua or Yahweh. But I will disclose this Bible to you, the Scriptures, the Book of Yahweh. You must look for and earnestly long for the day of Yahweh. I told you I was excited about this. I want you to be too. You know, know first of all that Yahweh is going to protect you. He says, fear not. He says it over and over and over. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to protect you. When you walk through the fire, I'll be there with you. We're going to walk through this fire, brother. We're not going to give our children to Molech to fight in war, but we're going to walk through this fire safely. Because of which the heavens and the earth will be dissolved with fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, and that's what we base our whole lives on in the house of Yahweh, we look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are looking forward to these things, be diligent and be found spotless, blameless. Don't let anyone say you're rebelling at all. Do what your counselors tell you to do. Follow the laws they tell you to follow. Blameless and at peace with him, and recognize that the long-suffering of Yahweh, our Savior, is salvation, just as our beloved brother Shaul, in accordance with the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all letters, speaking in those things, look on down to verse 17. You, therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, which I'm telling you beforehand what this is going to turn out, they're going to think they have peace once they fasten everybody down with this new resurrected Roman Empire. They're going to think they have peace, and Yahweh says in 2 Thessalonians, then's going to come the sudden destruction. Sudden destruction. Sudden burning on all the earth in 1 hour. But grow in truth and in the knowledge. I would say, when you got a free moment, don't think about getting on wheels and go running around. Get the Book of Yisrael, the Book of Yahweh, get the newsletters, whatever you can get. Read the lunch bags, whatever. But fill your mind with knowledge and wisdom, and pray that Yahweh makes you love it. He can. You'll fall in love with it if you'll just practice what I tell you. But grow in truth. That's what he's telling you to do. And in the knowledge of Yahweh. and of our Savior, Yahshua Messiah. We don't have very long now. To Yahweh belongs the glory, both now and forever. Hallelujah. This right here, if I can show you this, we'll start on this next week. This woman's name is Hawkins, by the way. Last name is Hawkins, but see what she's wearing, the jihad. And it says professor. She's a professor. After saying Christians, Muslims have the same God. They both worship the same God, which they do. They do. That's absolute truth. Even the Pope said that. Even Billy Graham said that. I can remember several people that said that down through the centuries. I say it today. They all worship the same gods. It's not just one God either. It's gods. Muslims and Christians, they all do. Well, she was fired. They fired her, a professor. Not because she said it, but because she was wearing a jihad. The scope, the veil. The veil. That's what they hate for some reason. They got laws they're passing against it, making, arresting the people who wear them. And of course, I guess if you have a certain look about you or something, I don't know how it is, and you know, they judge whether a person is an Arab, black, white, China, Asian, whatever, whether they're Muslim or not, but somehow or another, I think they got a record on every one of them. You know, that was one of the things I brought out about the computer back in 1976. And if you remember, that was relatively new, going into all the homes in 76. And I wrote that the Catholic Church owned a big one. And, of course, that was the best they had at that time. Brussels, Belgium, was where it was set up. And then New York City had one here. I wrote about that in the Mark of the Beast. The number was 666. And I showed how it could give every person on earth a different number. Now this was all brought about with the computers that started. It started in 1934, but in 1976. In 1934 is when it started. 1976 was when the one in Brussels, Belgium, and also New York was kind of a counterpart that they worked together. But that's when everyone was, they started getting records on everyone and their births, and I think they can look any name, Social Security number, whatever. They have ways of knowing, and then I guess they keep record from the parents as to what their religion is. I can tell everyone that's in a religion out there in the world that's practicing war, you're not going to be saved out of this. You're going to have to come out of war. You're going to have to put your swords away. You're going to have to stop doubling up your fists to people wanting to hit them. Don't go karate either. You know, that's the same. It's a bunch of crazy, idiot stuff that the world is teaching you. And of course, they teach it through the movies, through the schools. They have the recruiting officers there waiting on the children when they finish high school. And even if they don't finish high school, they want them anyway. And it makes no difference how dumb they are. They want them to serve in their armies. And they're getting those together to protect. That's, quote, protect you. It's not a protection. It's a depopulation is what's going to take place. But it's going to get out of hand. That's what Yahweh showed. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services over to the next leader. I love you!